Don't take it so seriously. Lighten up. Trust the mystery. Lighten up. It doesn't matter anyway. Just enjoy your life. Get out of your way. Lighten up.
Welcome to Lighten Up with Bonnie Wirth on Empower Radio, an inspirational hour of conversation and interviews to help you shift perspective and create balance between being spiritual and human. Now here's your host, Bonnie Wirth, on Empower Radio.
Lighten up. Hello and happy day, sweet friends. I'm so grateful to you for tuning into today's show. It's one of my favorite conversations to have. We're going to be talking about life after death, about some of the beautiful inspirational stories, as well as the guidance that Spirit has for us in terms of living a very purposeful and joy-filled life. Now, life after death is one of those subjects that I always like to approach with gentleness, with compassion, and with great understanding. Each and every one of us. I mean, I think as we go into life and we understand life and the concept of it, to know that death is a part of the equation is something that we all understand. But it's what we go through the death experience, in witness to our loved ones crossing and in being left behind, that becomes really the hardest thing we ever have to go through in life. I think that death, you know, the death of someone we love is absolutely the most difficult thing that we can transcend or even begin to find a way to rise above. So today's show, I'm going to be sharing with you some answers to some of the most commonly asked questions that have come up through all of the hundreds of sessions that I've done, you know, sitting down with clients and bringing through their loved ones. Also in terms of what I've shared at my events, the different conversations that come into play, as well as some of those bigger parts of things in terms of, you know, in case you are a medium and you're looking to advance or extend or develop your gifts so that you can understand a little bit about this whole concept of what the other side is all about. So if at any time, right out of the gate today, I want to say, if at any time after the commercial break you have a specific question in regards to life after death, I want to encourage you to give me a call. This is a great opportunity to have your question answered live with me on the phone, where we can really delve into what it is that you've been curious about, something that you've been contemplating with this whole idea of the afterlife. I also want to encourage you to, you know, reach out to me in the Facebook forum, the Lighten Up Facebook forum, where you can post your questions, where you can interact with me during the live show today. And again, posing those questions, looking for a little bit of clarity or deeper understanding on something that you're looking for in terms of the whole concept, the whole idea of what the spirit world is all about. Today, I'm that girl. I've got the answers. All right. But before I get into that, I really want to talk about this month of October. It really is what I want to refer to as a yummy, delicious energy month. It is a high vibrating energy month. And there has been no time like right now. If you wanted to develop or learn anything about conversations and connection with the other side, October is providing a really great opportunity in which to make that happen. There is what is understood is that the veil, you know, and I want to talk about the veil in a little bit, but the veil is the thinnest it's ever been between heaven and earth. And so it becomes really easy for communication to happen, for it to take place. And so it is actually the best time. October is providing us the best time to communicate with the other side. We literally can feel the change of energy around us. We can feel the presence of our loved ones with us. And again, there is an increase in terms of activity, as well as signs and symbols that are beginning to be stirred and brought into awareness for all of us. So it's a really, really big energy month in terms of our capacity to interface with this other world, so to speak. Now, what also is at play is that we are all right now in the energy of what October is providing, where it's really inviting us to step forward into that greater call, into that greater focus of purpose of and the realization of who we are, helping to cipher through and decipher the truth from the untruth, being able to speak to our truth, what we believe in, what we understand. And again, that has a lot to do with the whole backbone of what today's show is about. I'm here to speak what I know and understand to be truth through my interactions and exchanges with spirit over all of these years in conversation with them, in helping, you know, you to understand not only what happens, you know, in terms of this whole spirit world, but what it is and how it is that we can utilize our connection to not only move through and heal. I want to say move through. I don't think we ever move through our grief, but to rise above our grief, to be able to rise above our grief, to be able to then step forward in greater purpose and in more meat and living a more meaningful life and existence as a whole. And we can utilize our connection with spirit in order to make that happen. Now, again, we hear the whole idea, you know, and concept, well, the idea that we are souls and we are these spirits having a human experience. And I think that really is what we can say sets the tone in understanding what life after death is all about. So when we look at the fact that we are here in a physical body and that inside of us, we have a soul, the spirit part of us that interacts and that utilizes our physical body to have this beautiful life experience that we're having. Now, when we die or when there's no such thing as death, when we're alive and then we're alive, it's just a change of form that takes place. We go from a place of being a spirit inside of a body to being now not in physical form, but in energetic form. That when we die, our spirit leaves the physical body. But just as it was alive inside the physical body, it is still alive once it is released from the body. So when, as I said, there's no such thing as death. We're alive and then we're alive. It's just a change of form. It's a change of existence that takes place. However, as we know ourselves to be, we continue to exist far beyond, you know, once we leave this physical form. So we understand that, you know, the spirit world, what is the spirit world? Well, you know, that's what we refer to as being heaven. It's the other side. It's the afterlife. It's, you know, there's so many different examples or definitions or words that can express where it is that we go energetically when we leave our physical body, when we are no longer a part of Earth. But the truth of that is that heaven in understanding, it's just a, what we can call, as we change form, we begin to exist in what would be another vibration. It's another dimension. It's just on the edge of 2 inches from our fingertips, that we are not separated in the ways and concepts and beliefs that we have, you know, we've maybe been raised to taught. I know as a little kid, I used to believe that heaven was someplace way up in the sky, far, far away, like 1,000 miles. And I remember laying on the grass and watching the clouds and looking up to the sky, to the heavens and wondering, you know, where was my grandma? Where was my grandpa? Where was my dad? You know, looking and searching and seeking way far above me. And yet the truth of the matter is that our loved ones are so much closer than that, that when we leave this very physical body, the spirit goes into this other dimension, crosses over in energetically into this idea of heaven, but it's not all that far away. In fact, we sometimes think that, you know, or we have this concept or belief that spirits exist within our world. But yet, because of the complexity of what things are on an energetic vibration, we actually exist in theirs. So they're not very far away. We're just interrupted, or it's just not as easy for us to be able to connect, to witness them, to see them as it was before. So, you know, it changes, as I said, when we shift out of our physical body, we're still alive. It's just a change of formation that takes place. We're no longer physical. We go from being physical to non-physical, but we are still very much alive. So when we go, you know, so, and I want to get into some of the questions, you know, because we go into this idea of the earth plane, the spiritual plane, you know, and what happens when someone dies? Where do they go? What takes place? What is happening? One of the most common questions that really come up a lot for when sitting down in session with my clients or at the events that I do is that, you know, was my loved one alone at the time of their death? Well, the truth of that is that no one ever dies alone. And that is such a relief to people who maybe, you know, weren't able to be with their loved one when they crossed over, that, you know, weren't able to be at the bedside or were, you know, were caught in traffic and didn't quite make it there in time before someone that they loved, you know, someone they loved had died. Or for the people that, you know, the ones where there was shock or someone is found all by themselves. The idea of our loved ones suffering and being alone at the time of death is one of the things that can really weigh on our hearts and our minds. But in this, please know that no one dies alone, that in the moment of what we understand death to be, that there is a gathering that takes place. There are loved ones on the other side that have crossed on before that show up to lend a hand, that there are angels and there are, you know, there's a whole entourage of support to be there with that person at the time of their death, that very often in the death process, that the spirit is already engaging with the other side in almost a fullness of reunion, even before the physical body has let go of it. So there is so much that is already taking place without us even really understanding and in that moment in time. But that our loved ones are engaging with the other side, with, as I said, angels and guides and spirit helpers, loved ones who have gone before. Great reunions are taking place, celebration, because in death, even though we see it as a physical death, it's actually a new birth that is taking place. And so just as we celebrate the birth of a new arrival here in this lifetime, I know I just had, you know, well, I didn't just have, but my daughter-in-law just had our little grandson back in July, and there was a great celebration of this beautiful little angel who came forward to be a part of our lives. It's no different on the other side. We recognize it as death or as loss, but in that transition, it's a new birth that takes place, and there is great celebration. There is great gathering, and everyone comes to meet, to greet, and to help that spirit in their transition from physical to non-physical. So no one dies alone. So please, if you've been worried or wondering in any way, if you've been feeling guilty about not being by your loved one's side at the time of their death, let it go, you know, let it go and be at ease and peace and knowing that they were supported, that they had all of the helpers that they could possibly need. And I think it's also really important. I know Spirit has said to me often in those times, especially when I'm working with a client who, you know, is feeling guilty for not being there. Perhaps they weren't able to, as I said, couldn't make it in time, or life had taken them another direction, or perhaps they were around, you know, around the globe in another continent even at the time of death. There's a lot of things where people feel guilty about the choice that would have caused some separation at that time of their death. But in those conversations, Spirit has always said, it's okay that you weren't there. In fact, it's one of the ways in which that particular soul, where Spirit said, I actually didn't want you there at that time, not because I didn't love you, but because I didn't want you to remember my death. I wanted more than anything for you to remember my life, to remember my smile, to remember, you know, the fun that we had together. I did not want you to be traumatized through watching me let go of my body, be traumatized by the events that took place at that time of my death. So it was one of the ways, it was really an expression of love, even in those last few moments where that soul said, I was glad you were busy. I was glad you weren't there. It was one of the ways that I know that you were being taken care of. So know that if, you know, again, if you've been struggling with that in any way, there's purpose behind it. And it's not because your loved one didn't want you there. It's not because they didn't know how much you love them or that they didn't love you. It was their way to protect you and to continue to express that love to you so that you could remember the joys, the smiles, the laughter, the good times, instead of the trauma or the memory of their death experience. So that's a really, you know, that's a really big one for a lot of the clients that come forward, a lot of the conversations that we have. Another big one that comes up, you know, is my loved one at peace? Are they okay? Very often, and we know through death experiences, there's many things that happen that will cause, you know, at that time of death, which is the transition, whether that be, you know, having been in an accident, having suffered, you know, in some way, whether they were brutalized or murdered, whether that was a result of, you know, a long going illness or the fact that they had been in a lot of pain or discomfort at the time of their death. That there is all kinds of things that play out, which we understand can be that death experience or the reason why someone died. And in it, one of the biggest concerns is, are they okay? Are they at peace? And the answer always, always, always is a big resounding yes. That when we transition and when we leave this physical body, we leave everything that is human behind, which means we leave behind the pains, the sorrows, the wounds, the suffering. There is no more illness, that without the body, that the spirit is in full, you know, vitality, renewal, rebirth. And so the things that would have been difficult in life, whether that be physically, mentally, emotionally, are no longer a part of the equation. That when we leave the physical body, we drop what is everything human about us, everything that is our ego, and it lets go. And this, now we become this pure, positive, vibrating energy of absolute unconditional love. And so within it, there is no suffering. Also, you know, to know and understand that what I've been shown and what Spirit has told me over the years is that even in the cases of a traumatic accident, where they know that their loved one had, you know, was really suffered a lot at the time of their death, to just know that nobody suffers in death. Nobody. That in the case of an accident, or that spirit, in the moment that the collision happens, in the moment that the death experience is upon them, that spirit is disengaged from the body. It's pulled from the body at the moment. That there is no, you know, there immediately, there is no suffering. That even, you know, in that exact moment, that we are being taken care of, that we are not alone, that in no way, shape, or form are we suffering in the moment of our release. That in itself is, again, great relief to know that the moment, no matter what's going on, no matter the pain, the agony, the traumas that are around, or the story of what is the death experience, that there is no suffering, that they truly are at peace, that they've left everything that has weighed them down. They left it all behind. With the release of that physical body, with the change of from physical to non-physical, the change of form from life to a new kind of life. It's so refreshing. It's so, there's so much relief within knowing that. And I have seen time and time again in sitting with session with clients and where Spirit is showing me their death experiences and what it played out and what happened, that they are happy, that they are well, and that they are at peace. I remember one particular reading that I did where a lady had asked whether or not her father was now at peace. He had had a really difficult life. He was, you know, he was downtrodden with addiction, and he was always, you know, life was just hard for him. And so one of the things that really she needed to know was, he finally at peace? And he laughed. He actually laughed at the question, not at her, but laughed at the question. And he said, honestly, he said, that whole idea of, you know, they're resting in peace, he says, that's not a concept at all on the other side. He said he's busier now on the other side than he was in life. Just that what he is doing and how he is doing it, it completely changed. But that he is, he, that peace is something that we have here in life, that it's here and available to us. And that peace on the other side, he said, he's too busy to be resting in peace. I thought that was hilarious. I thought that was so, so great. Now, as we move forward and understand, you know, some of the things that happen, as I talk about that, you know, nobody dies alone, to understand that every grandparent, a child, a pet, there's always somebody there to escort them, to the other side, to take them through what you can understand is being the veil from this world to the next. Now, the veil is something to consider too. I've had a lot of people in session that, you know, that are, of course, are grieving, are wanting to have some form of connection and awareness to their loved one on the other side. And yet they're not having any dreams about them. Everybody else seems to be dreaming about their loved one except them. That they're not recognizing any of the signs that are showing up. There's no coins and feathers and birds and butterflies happening for them. They're not noticing any of that. It's happening for everybody else, but not for them. And then there is also, you know, the awareness to the senses, the feeling of having a loved one by, the brush of a skin, the movement of hair, or perhaps even something in the house that is being moved or played with in some way. That the client was so was so unaware and was not having any experiences whatsoever with their loved one, that was really, they were really scared and worried that their loved one had left completely and forgot all about them. That in some way they had done something wrong, that their loved one was not engaging with them, was not interacting, because they couldn't witness, they couldn't sense, they couldn't feel, and they most certainly were not getting any dream, any visitation happening in dreams. As I said, everyone else was except them. Well, in that particular case, Spirit showed me that that wasn't truth at all. In fact, their loved one had been working so hard to get through to them, that was there cradling and cuddling them while they slept, trying to soothe their grief, was actually very, very, very busy inside of the house, moving things, playing with things, trying to get the attention to say, I'm right here. And that they were actually having dream time together, that there was great, there was reunion and there was conversation and there was, you know, great intimate, emotional intimacy that was taking place for them. But what it was is that my client, in her state of grief, was not able to receive anything that was going on. It wasn't that her loved one wasn't trying, because they most certainly were. It was because in those moments, in the most vulnerable and weakest states of learning how to cope, to find balance, to get a sense of what life was to be without this person in her life, that she wasn't in any capacity to be able to receive the energy of Spirit. But their loved one was there the whole time. You see, our grief creates a little bit of a barrier. And that's what Spirit showed me, was that her grief had created a barrier or a block. It wasn't for lack of trying on Spirit's side, and it definitely wasn't for lack of wanting on my client's side, but it was that this barrier of grief made it too difficult for one to receive the other. And so to know and understand that even if your loved one, you're not in awareness of your loved one, if you've been wondering why they haven't been showing up in your dreams, you know, it's because even they are, but subconsciously you get it. Subconsciously, you're doing it while you're sleeping, while the ego is at rest, our spirits can engage with each other. But when we wake up back into the haze, back into the fog, we wake back up into our grief, Spirit says. And so because of that, there's a block and a barrier during our waking hours. But know and trust that your loved one is with you, doing everything possible in order to help you to move forward through your grief, to bring you signs, to engage with you in this new kind of way. And it is a new way how we communicate with each other. You know, you're tuning in and listening to me on the radio. That's a lot in terms of how we communicate with the other side. It's as if we're communicating on a radio signal. It's out there. You know, it's a signal that's happening out there in the cosmos, and that we're tuning in and dialing in. We're dialing into the right channel. You know, we're tuning in to the right show. I mean, you're tuning into today's show, but we're tuning in to spirit. That in some way that we can still hear them, sense them, feel them, know them, experience them within our lives. It's just different. How they communicate, how they're showing up, and what's taking place around us can make a big difference and be very significant in our ability to truly receive them. Okay. Now, one of the other things that really concerns a lot of people who come forward is whether or not their loved one has actually crossed over. Are they stuck? Did they cross over? I'm really worried that they didn't make it to the other side. And this is what's so beautiful to know, is that honestly, the large majority of people, when they die, cross over immediately. As I said, within the death experience, there's already loved ones and gathering, that the angels are surrounding them, that they already are receiving help in that exact moment of their death. And in that exact moment, they are crossing over. And as they're crossing over, there is great support and help for them. I'm going to talk more about all of this after the commercial break.
You, it's me, your heart. Listen to me. We've got to talk. High blood pressure is serious, and yours? Whoa. What happened to us? We used to be so much more active, but lately you've been ignoring me. I know you think I'm just going to keep ticking away forever, but you're wrong. You can do so much more to control your high blood pressure. Doing the minimum isn't doing enough. I'm under a lot of pressure and can quit whenever I want. Bet you didn't know that. But I like my job. Just treat me better. Check on me. Give me something green to nibble on every once in a while. And maybe we can do some exercise on occasion. Let's get to it. After all, we're in this together.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Just now, another kid dropped out of school. There's one every 20 seconds. Over 200 kids an hour. That adds up to nearly 5,000 kids every school day.
If we do nothing, 3.5 million kids won't receive a diploma over the next 4 years. But there is someone who can change that. And that someone is you. United Way knows that kids who have a caring adult in their life are more likely to make it. So make a pledge. Tutor a child who needs help. Mentor a kid who needs someone on their side. Volunteer to read to children. Because the path to success or failure starts long before graduation day. And the difference between a graduate and a dropout could be you. Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Linda Ellerbe. Did you know that every 3 minutes, another woman gets the news she has breast cancer? I got it 11 years ago, and I know how scary it can be. Everything your doctor says sounds like a foreign language. HER2 new?
oncogene, aromatase inhibitor, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How are you going to decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? Please listen. As soon as you get your diagnosis, go to breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the internet where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words and find out what they mean. At breastcancer.org, you can learn more about your particular kind of cancer and your treatment options, and get all kinds of other useful information to guide you and your family through this. The first place to go the minute you find you have breast cancer, breastcancer.org.
Lighten up. Don't take it so seriously. Lighten up. Trust the mystery. Lighten up. It doesn't matter anyway, just enjoy your life. Get out of your way, lighten up.
Now back to Lighten Up with Bonnie Worth on Empower Radio.
Welcome back to the show. For the commercial break, I was talking about the fact of, you know, the fact that everyone crosses over, right? That in the moment of death, that we actually, you know, have this beautiful experience of all of our loved ones gathering, and reminder, we're never alone at our time of death whatsoever. And that we actually, the idea of someone not successfully crossing over, I'm going to tell you the large majority, and I don't want to put a percentage on it, but I want to say a percentage. I want to say like 99.9% of every single soul that has a death experience in a successful death experience has crossed over immediately. That to understand that death is not, you know, no spirit is trapped, that no spirit is trapped any more than any other spirit, that transitions from physical to non-physical offer freedom, not entrapment, not being stuck. We do, like in every, you know, at every time. Now there are scenarios and times where, you know, perhaps someone makes a decision to not go right away. But I'm going to tell you, heaven is offered to every single person, no matter the reason, no matter the death experience, no matter what, heaven is available to everyone who chooses it. And that's really when we look at the understanding that we have free will here in our life, that we have the power of choice in the here, in the now, in our physical form, that we have the power of choice at the time of our death, and that we can choose to go to the other side, to go to heaven or not. And that's an individual choice. And that's, you know, that's where free will comes into play. But that every single person, there's a great movie I remember from when my kids were growing up, and I don't even know the it was probably in the early 80s when this movie was out, and the movie is called All Dogs Go to Heaven. And it was such a beautiful story because it has to do about, you know, the dogs in the back alley, and, you know, the rough and gruff dogs, the tough ones on the play, you know, in the dog's world, the bullies, so to speak. And then, you know, you have your soft, playful, lovey-dovey little puppy dogs. And so it was just this, you know, who is more deserving of heaven? Well, the truth is every single person is deserving of heaven. As I said, no matter what, and from my experience that I have been seeing, that the majority, almost every single person who dies has the opening where the light comes, where their loved ones gather, where the angels are there to help them make the transition, that no spirit is ever trapped, that transition brings freedom, that there's absolute freedom in it. And this is the case, you know, one of the areas of concern that comes up are for death by suicide. You know, to have a family member who's crossed in that way can be a very concerning, especially when there's a lot of religious beliefs behind what, you know, behind suicide. First off, to know that, you know, the concept of hell, or that there is any form of punishment whatsoever, that's not the case. That, you know, again, there's so many different beliefs around suicide. And so I can only share based on what my experience have been. And that even souls who have chosen their transition, and it is a choice, of course, we know, to choose to cross over through death by suicide, that they too go to heaven. that they've left their physical body, and that they are met by the entourage, and that they are welcomed with open arms. They may have a little bit more of what we can call healing time on the other side, but they are no less deserving than anyone else in going to heaven. And that, you know, that's where, you know, again, their transitions, you know, they cross over immediately. There's no judgment. There's no judgment. We as human beings and our beliefs, you know, we create the judgment. We condemn because we don't understand, right? We don't understand why someone would choose it. I'll tell you, I get into the different ways that we die and the choices and what takes place when a spirit chooses to not go to the other side. I mean, those are kind of the goods I really want that I offer in my my programs, in my certification programs. That's why if you're not a part of or haven't signed up for the Academy of Spirit, I really want to invite you to go to my website. Sign up today at bonnieworth.ca, Academy of Spirit, and go there and sign up for the wait list. Because through my courses, I will help you to understand what takes place at a much greater, grander level, more than what I can cover today in 1 hour, you know, hanging out with you here on Empower Radio. Where we can really understand what death is all about, what the other side is all about, what really happens. And, you know, in those situations and scenarios where a spirit chooses to not go, well, now what? Well, I'll tell you, eventually, everyone finds their way to the light. It's the beautiful thing about the fact that heaven is always available. So one of the other things that, you know, comes up in conversations time and time again is, you know, what are some of the signs that my loved one is bringing me? Now, I mentioned a little bit earlier some of the things that play out where, you know, there can be feathers and coins. There can be, spirit loves to play. They will play with technology. Lights will go on. Cupboard doors may open and close. There can be a lot of what can feel like disruptive awareness. Sometimes your loved ones work very hard, and that we can, you know, sometimes we're not able to see or to feel or hear them in the same way, but they are trying to communicate with us. And so they will use our environment in which to catch our attention. There will be a song on the radio that, you know, has that happened to you, where you get into your car and it's the same song all the time? It's the same song. There it is again and again and again. That's your loved one bringing you messages, reassurance that they're with you. And it's one of the easiest ways in which spirit can catch on in terms of this new form of communication, because now they don't have a physical body, which means they don't have a voice box, which means they're not able to talk to us in the same way that they used to. So they communicate a little bit differently now. And one of the easiest ways for them to do that is to bring us signs, whether that be feathers and butterflies and rainbows. I want to tell you, it comes back to a really, really simple thing, is if you think it's a sign from your loved one, it is. You wouldn't be having the thought of grandma in that moment if she wasn't putting that thought in your head. If you think it's a sign, it is. And if you think it is a specific loved one, this person versus that person, you have to trust it. Whatever is what I always refer to, that inspiring thought, that first thought that you have in the moment when something happens, that is the one to trust. It's after that our ego questions and talks us out of it and confuses the issue. But if you're driving down the highway and you see a beautiful rainbow in the horizon and you immediately think of your grandma, trust and know that definitely was a sign. She's bringing you colors, bringing you love, bringing, you know, rainbows represent so many things. And again, every sign and every symbol has a significant meaning. Again, too much to go into on the show, but is a really big part of why I want to encourage you. Whether you want to look at being a professional medium or not, I want to invite you over to the Academy. Come over. Let's have conversations. Let's understand, you know, life after death on a deeper level. And let's start looking at some of the ways in which the signs begin to show up so that you can rest easy knowing that your loved one is there, that you can receive them in all of the ways in which they communicate with us. So it really is a matter of paying attention. I think that's really what it comes down to. As mediums, we begin to pay a little bit more attention to what is playing out all around us. There is a philosophy or theory that I teach within my programs, is that everything is something when we look at spirit communication. And when our intention is to connect and to engage with the other side, that everything, spirit will show us signs and ask for confirmation. Sometimes it's really easy, and sometimes we have to ask a second time, a third time, but really begin to pay attention to what's happening. You know, I was laying in bed last night, and as I was in, I couldn't sleep, new moon vibes, and, you know, so I'm doing all kinds of what we can call inner work and intentions and really working within creating a vision for my future and really using all of this new moon energy to really, you know, create for my life and to be that change I want to, you know, see in the world. And so within it, in part of it, I just put out a little request and I just said, you know, if there's anyone here with me, I said, can you show me a sign? Let me know you're here. And there was nothing. And I'm like, come on, you guys, I know you're here, but right now where I am, I just need to know you're here. And immediately by asking a second time, I could feel, you know, being the hand on my arm. I could feel someone stroking my hair. Immediately there was reassurance, but I needed to really listen. And of course it takes practice. And that's why you want to be a part of the academy, because I'm able to help you to cultivate connections so that you can be in awareness to your loved ones around you. Now, one of the biggest things to understand, one of the misconceptions out there, is that to say that, hey, I'm a medium, and again, the only person you ever need to admit it to is yourself, but for you to be able to fully engage and understand that being a medium doesn't mean that right away when you are going to learn and develop your connection with the other side, that it's about doing this work for others. It's not. It's about you understanding your gifts, understanding so that you can be in connection with your loved ones on the other side to experience their love, to get their guidance, their support, and their help. That learning to develop and to grow within your awareness to spirit is to help you to thrive within your own life. And how you choose to use your gifts or how you choose to show up in the world as a result of this development is completely your choice. It's like the death experience. We get to choose, right? We have free will. We have free will at all times. And so that's a part of it. And again, I'm putting the big shout out there because I really, oh my gosh, it feels just, I just know the importance of it. I know the difference it has made, not only in my life, but in all of the hundreds of people who have learned how to healthfully and safely engage with the other side in the experiences of their loved ones. Okay, so I want to get back to some of the questions about it. Where do we go from here? Okay, as I was on my little tangent about the academy. Okay, coming back. One of the things that a lot of people really get concerned about as well is what if, you know, is the light always available to everyone? And of course, as I said, it is. Everyone goes to heaven. But how long? You know, how long is that available to them? Is it always going to be there? Well, I'll tell you that sometimes spirits, you know, as I said, they maybe can't face the light, that there are times where they choose not to go, but that light is always available to them. And again, that power of choice, that eventually every soul, no matter the circumstances, will find their self successfully to the other side. Okay, so we've talked about signs and symbols. We've talked about the fact that there, well, as that one spirit said, that there's no such thing as peace on the other side. You know, we talked about signs and symbols, you know, being so important. Now, we talked about dream states. Now, dream states are, I want to go into this a little bit more, or should I say, spirit is encouraging me to go a little bit into this more, is the fact that why does my loved one only show up in dreams? That was a question that one of my clients brought forward to me a long time ago. They're like, I would love to be able to have an experience with them when I'm awake. Why do they only show up in my dreams? Well, one of the reasons for that, and I touched a little bit earlier about it, you know, in the show, was the fact that when we go to sleep, our ego goes to sleep. And it's our ego that is filled with all of our fears. Are, you know, we might be afraid to actually see them in spirit. The fact that there's a noise in our house makes us jump, and we almost come out of our own skin when that happens. That actually our loved ones don't want to scare us or shock us or do anything to us that is going to create fear in connecting with them. So to understand, when we go to sleep, that our fears go to sleep too. And as a result, those fears again, our fears are what create the veil. Our beliefs create the veil, the separation between heaven and earth, our beliefs, our fears, as well as our grief. And so there is no such thing as a veil. There's not. If we understand from the whole idea within heaven and between heaven and earth, that it's just a shift and change in dimension, and that there's no such thing as a veil. But we created us little humans, we're the ones who create the block and the barrier. And that's because of our fears, our beliefs, as well as our grief, that create the separation from one world to the other. And when we go to sleep, all of that goes to sleep too. Our ego is at rest. And so we become available, so to speak, to our loved ones on the other side in our dream states. A dream state is that time where we are in our highest vibration. All of our resistance is sleeping. And dreams are the most effortless way in which spirit can connect with us, so that we can engage and experience them. And it's, you know, really important to understand here too. It comes back to the very, very basic foundation. If you wake up in the morning and you don't remember anything about your dream except the fact that your loved one is there, that's a definite message that I am here for you. I've got you. I'm here. I'm not, you know. So we look at finding ways in which to recognize that in our dream state, if all you remember is that they were happy and smiling, that's a message that I'm happy, I'm well, I'm okay over here on the other side. You know, it's so reassuring to have those conscious memories. But it's also to understand that sometimes we don't remember, and that's okay. But it's so much simpler for spirit to achieve communication with us when we are sleeping, because there's no barrier, there's no veil. And that's why dreams become one of the easiest ways in which for them to communicate. So I got so much going on here, I'll tell you. I could probably do a 3-hour talk on this today, you guys, with the amount of information that is asking to come forward and stream through to you. One of the other questions that will often come up is, you know, did my loved ones see, were they at the funeral? Did they see what we did for them? And the truth of that is that yes, that every single spirit, you know what, they attend their funerals, they help make funeral arrangements, that when they die, that, you know, they're, as I said, they cross over immediately. They haven't crossed over and forgotten about us. They cross over and they turn around and reach from the other side in which to still engage with everything in order to ensure, one, that we are being cared for, that we are comforted, that there are big decisions that have to be made, that they are offering guidance and support and trying to help to ease the transition. Not only are they being eased in their transition to the other side, they're assisting us in this transition in our life, all of the people who are left behind. And yes, they attend their funerals. They recognize all of the special ways in which they were acknowledged and appreciated. In fact, I did a reading a couple of weeks ago where a father was coming through to his daughter, and he was saying to me, Bonnie, he says, my funeral was so big. It was so big that the whole building, the walls were bursting, that there wasn't enough room for all of the people in attendance. He goes, I didn't realize I was so well liked. And so, of course, I'm sharing that with her, with his daughter. And she's like, oh my gosh, Bonnie, his funeral was huge. He was there. I said, he was there. And I said, he's showing me airplanes. And she was just like, oh my God. She said, his funeral was a 4,500 people. And they did an air show, or the planes flew over to honor him in his flight home. And it was so beautiful. And it was so wonderful for her to know that her dad had seen it all, that it wasn't for nothing, that he completely was a part of it. And it's so refreshing to know that, yes, they attend their funeral. They are part of those days and following, you know, through that. Once they kind of help us through our hurdles within the first 3 weeks, they, you know, begin to kind of pull back a little bit energetically. And again, they're not pulling back because they forgot about us, but every spirit will go through a little bit of a healing time on the other side. They do, when they cross over after the little reunions take place, they're put into what's referred to as a sleeping state, so to speak, which means they're not really available to interact with. They're having some healing time. They do a life review. They witness about what has happened in their life. They see every feeling, every emotion, every experience. And then they go, as they do this life review, there's no judge there. There's nobody condemning them and saying you should have did this or you should have did that. And, you know, there's no damnation that takes place. But it really is helping to expansion for the person, a realization of the different experiences so that they can see the different outcomes if they would have made different choices. So it really is, again, there's great healing, and especially for those souls who have had very difficult lives, very difficult human existences, that there's some healing time that takes place. One of the biggest questions that I answer all the time is that when my loved one goes to the other side, when can I communicate with them? When are they going to come back? Well, the truth is, as I said, the answer is that they are almost immediately. When someone dies and crosses over, we can connect with them almost immediately. Now, there are some stories out there that, you know, about the fact that maybe they're not available. And it's true. When they go into what we can understand their resting state or their healing state, they become a little bit unavailable to connect with. It doesn't mean that they don't want to be there or their love isn't there. It still is there. However, you know, I always recommend that we look at waiting, you know, about three months before we sit down to communicate with them. This isn't because spirit isn't available. Spirit is spirit, and spirit will always be available. I mean, they are. When they leave their body, you know, they go from here to there, and we can communicate the whole time. There's no hold on that time, so to speak. However, what I always recommend is that there be a little bit of a window opportunity. That's to give spirit the chance to go through their healing time on the other side, but also it's for the client, for the individual, because sometimes when we communicate too soon with them, we don't really want to hear their messages. We're still in shock. We're still in pain. We're still in wound. We're numb from the whole experience. And hearing from them in spirit is, you know, an opportunity for us to heal. And immediately when that happens, we're not ready to heal in that moment. We just want our loved one back. And so within that 3 months, it gives opportunity for the grief to kind of be honored, for the numbness to go away. And then when we sit down in session together, we can communicate very easily with your loved one. But also as a client, we are ready, you know, we are ready to receive. We are ready to hear what they have to say. We're in kind of in a better space. We're ready for a little bit of healing. And that's really what mediumship's all about. So whether you choose to, you know, acknowledge your mediumship abilities, to understand that you have the capacity in which to communicate with your loved ones on the other side for no other reason than for you, or if you were to choose to work professionally in helping and doing readings for others, whatever it is for you, again, a big shout out for my Academy of Spirit. Go to my website, join up for the wait list, sign up for the certification program so that you can be a part of greater awareness to your loved ones on the other side. So you can interact, be in their presence, feel their love, and experience them in a whole new light. Thank you so much for tuning into today's show, sweet friends. I really want to say thank you to you. Know that your loved ones are with you, that they are by your side, supporting you, loving you, and want nothing more than for you to be happy. That's the bottom line. They want nothing more than for you to be happy, to take steps in your life, to make choices and decisions that support you in a way that adds to your life, to not suffer because they suffer, to not suffer because they are no longer with you in physical form, but to be able to understand that they are loving you in a whole new light, in a whole new way, and that you have not been forgotten, that they are still very much with you, and that they love you. They love you. So whatever it takes, I know, you know, to choose love, to move forward, to find joy, to do something, to take care of you in a way that's the way to honor them. Taking care of you honors them. Thank you so much for tuning into today's show. Big love to each and every one of you. Bye for now.